position. That is our transition coordinator. Barry Rita retired back in May. So we've gone through the process of recruiting, and we actually have a date of interviewing for next Tuesday. I think there's a couple applicants, not a ton, but we do have a few. So hopefully we'll be able to fill that position shortly. That is actually going to be our fourth recruitment virtually. Interviewing virtually, so I'll just because I can't remember the last time I presented what update I gave regarding the staff, but we have had our last VR counselor hired in September of this 2021. Angelo Vitale is his name, and he replaced Charlotta Copenhaver for that position. She took over as a transition counselor, so he this is another overused word, but he hit the ground running. He definitely, has really just kind of jumped right in. It's been great. He's going out, seeing clients. He's really, been a great addition. I'm covering kind of the South Central New Haven County over to the eastern part of the state. He's actually, he came from working at the American Job Center, so he has a very good background with collaborating, knows the ins and outs of the American Job Center. So we're, I've assigned him to work with the Eastern American Job Center along with the South Central New Haven one. He's gonna be doing both. We've had some difficulty in the past collaborating with the Eastern American Job Center, just getting, a lot of buy-in. So he's already started that process, and hoping going forward that we'll be able to increase that collaboration. We had Christiana Taima she actually changed her name since she started. It was Rufino, it's now Taima, and her name's Christiana. She was hired as our rehab technologist to cover the southern part of the state. And again, just she's really just kind of hit the ground running, and really has made a big impact in that part of the state since she started. She's probably going out and seeing face-to-face 100% of the time. She's not teleworking at all, so she's really just getting out there and kind of addressing that need, being able to see people and employers and different things. And then the other new hire we had since we've kind of in the last year is Stacey Lewis as our other transition counselor, along with Charlotta Copenhaver. They're splitting the state north and south. So that kind of makes up Hope Rehab. And once this position is filled with Barry, we will be fully staffed. But as Amy said, we're probably going to be anticipating a few retirements. Not in 2022, not too many, luckily, but we have had a few indicate that they are planning on going. I would say two or three, so we'll see how that goes. But for now, we're almost fully staffed. So we're starting to see things opening up for employment, I should say. As the rest of the world is seeing things open up, we're starting to see some more opportunities for our clients to be able to go out. One of the things that we took the biggest hit on when we went, due to the pandemic, we went into, teleworking and different things, is not a lot of opportunities to be able to do work-based learning experience or trial work experience, which give our clients an opportunity to see what careers they would, be good at, and to see if this is good for them. So we're starting to see those jobs starting to open up. As everybody knows, the hospitality industry took the biggest hit during the pandemic. That's everything from restaurants and BP, along with anything, hotel and was before the pandemic one of the most growing industries, and we really just took a hit, and just almost everybody lost their job during that time. So now we're starting to see people getting hired back into those positions. Assessments being, done again in those environments. So that's a good thing. There's still many jobs that remained virtual. A lot of our clients are still virtual. So a lot of programs are still virtual. So our initiative for the past year, I think we're going on almost exactly a year, was to make sure that everybody, our clients, are able to get the technology that they need to be able to do virtual programs, to participate in these programs that are now online that weren't in the past. So we collaborated with Computers for the Blind to get discounted refurbished computers and laptops for individuals to be able to participate in these programs if they didn't have the technology available to them, along with providing assistive technology for them to be able to participate in these programs virtual. So that's still happening. That really hasn't changed dramatically. We really had an influx of a lot of purchases, but it's died down a little bit, but we're still providing technology daily for individuals to participate in these programs. Like I said, a lot of the programs still remain virtual. The American Job Center throughout the state, there's five American Job Centers, located throughout different regions. They've opened up slightly, that individuals are able to come in and meet with staff by appointment, meet with job developers. Some of the classes are in person, but there's definitely a hybrid model still in place for the American Job Centers. Our staff have also been able to do, that's one of the pluses, I would say. I know there's a lot of negatives, but there's definitely been some pluses regarding virtual opportunities for our staff to be able to participate in trainings. The RSA, a lot of the agencies nationally have created community of practices that are virtual, whether it be employment focus, veterans focus, pre-ETS, pre-employment transition services. So we have staff on like all of those community practices, that are virtual. We've been able to send staff to the national conferences. I would say we've averaged about 10 staff to CSABR and at CSAB, which one was in November and one just finished up last week. Those are national conferences that in the past we've been able to send maybe one or two staff to because of the cost of out-of-state travel and being able to stay up in a hotel and pay for the conference. The conferences are now so discounted and they've been virtual, and it's just been very, very beneficial for especially our new staff to be able to see the whole national perspective. So that's just been a plus. And that isn't just limited to nationally. It's been also locally as well. A lot of conferences that staff may not have been able to go to due to travel restrictions, and maybe it's on the other part of the state, it didn't work out with their schedule. So now a lot more opportunities for staff to be able to participate in trainings and programs. We ourselves have done a couple online events. We've done a few mentor events. October was National Employment for Individuals with Disability Month, and I think that's how it's worded. I always forget the lingo, but it's the whole month of October, there's a lot of activities designed for individuals with disabilities to honor, different aspects. We collaborate with, we did a collaboration with the Department of Labor. It's our 9th annual collaborative resource event that we did virtually, and we presented and helped organize that. That was in October. We did October also has a National Mentor Day on, I think it's October 16th. We did an online mentor event for that as well. We had about four mentors speak to our college, and high school students. Or basically, it was open to anybody who is looking to change careers and figure out what career opportunities are available to them. We had about 20 participate with four mentors, so that was successful. Let's see. The other thing that we had is we just got our consumer set. I know Brian usually gave this update, so I'll try to, if there's anything that you guys, that Brian used to give an update on Vogue Rehab that I may be missing, or you guys have any questions, feel free to ask me. I know, he used to give an update on our consumer satisfaction survey, which did come in. It's a pretty long document, so I'll give you a summary. It was actually a very, very good, you know, results. 90%, I'll get, you know, 90% of clients indicated that they would recommend VR services to a friend, and that was up 2.5% from last year. All eight of our services showed an increase from 2020. So everything just went up this year as far as satisfaction. The biggest increase that we saw satisfaction-wise was transportation and higher education had the largest increase. Ironically, transportation, given that we were teleworking, but that showed our highest increase. One of the most widely used services were rehabilitation technology and low vision services. Our highest counselor satisfaction had to do with the referral process, being able to explain VR services and the referral process for voc rehab. The lowest satisfaction came with complaint resolution, explaining what our complaint process is. It was the lowest. So that's pretty much the summary. It's a pretty more detailed document. So that's it for voc rehab.
Thank you for a very thoroughgoing presentation, Mary. If anybody has any questions. Hearing none, thanks again for the presentation, Mary.
No problem.
I had a request from two board members to add items to the agenda, and this was the most appropriate place at which we could add them. So I'm going to give the floor to Steve and Eileen, who had brought the questions forward, and let them proceed with their questions.
Okay, thank you. The three areas that we were concerned about, one was the whole issue of low vision services, because this impacts the three departments, voc rehab, children's services, and adult services. And we had heard and knew some of the doctors, many of them have retired. And the big question is there a committee going, and can we be part of that committee to help identify what may be some of the issues impacting low vision services? Because this is critical to all of these three departments. And from hearing some folks, they were concerned about if low vision goes away, what will replace it? And I wanted to bring that to your attention in terms of clients that may need that to get a job or to help them with their education, or some of the seniors to help them with their daily life. So it would be good to know if there's a committee working on it, and then can we get people that know a lot about low vision or what has to be done to help push the committee forward to keep it? Because I know one of the issues was payment dollars amount, that the figures were low. And I think the second one is there are less doctors on our list now, on the agency's list, and people may not be able to travel, say, from Hartford to Fairfield County to get services. So that's the big concern that we have. Eileen, you have anything to add about low vision?
I just unmuted myself. No, except, you know, one thought is the Three Lions districts have some low vision services. Now, I think it might be important going forward as we continue with some planning to collaborate with the Lions, and so that everybody knows who is doing what. I think there needs to be some organization and collaboration in this area.
Yeah, I would second that, because when I was working for BESRI, we met every couple of months, those of us who are a member of the Lions, to see how to maintain the relationship. Now, I don't know if the Veterans Administration clients, when they, my understanding is, when they get a piece of equipment, the VA does not take it back. So I don't know if they're giving them to the Lions Club, Eileen, or some other group.
I'm not aware that they are. I'm not aware that they are giving them to Lions. No, I think if someone is served by veterans, that's where the service would be.
Okay, so, because we know down here there's a self-help thing for the Lions, but I think it's important to whatever committee there is that we do this. Okay, the second area that we were concerned about was going forward, future of clients coming through the system. For example, with Children's Services, we noticed that there was a drop in their population from like 1,200 to 900 plus clients. The second thing that we were concerned about is those that are being served now, what kind of supports or services will they need going forward? Are they going to need more supportive employment because they have several challenges they're facing? Will the referrals to Voc Rehab down the road, 3 to 5 years, be less referrals going there? And I think the other area that's very critical is where the referrals coming from. I know there's a state statute that requires optometrists or doctors to refer clients in, or refer future clients in. Now, are there other referral opportunities that we can take advantage of at this time to bring services to those clients that may not be receiving? One other thought I had, I believe it's the, Amy, you can correct me on this, there's an area council on aging, and I don't know if they can help identify future referrals for our agency. Eileen?
No, I think you summarized it well. I believe there are a number of area agencies on aging throughout the state, right? Five or six?
Yeah, you're right.
But again, I think really collaboration, coordination is such a key area that we can't lose track of that focus.
Okay. The third area that we were concerned about were those, our seniors, 55 and up. With many things going to the computer area, technology, especially the medical field, many of our seniors are unable to connect with their doctors because many of it has gone through the technology, especially my charts, in order to keep up with the medicals that are going in your area. In addition, there are many seniors that, as Beth mentioned earlier, that are becoming blind later, like 70 and are by themselves. Are there services that could help here? For example, technology at Area Council on Aging, can they help with the senior centers in terms of doing some beginning computer work with our clients? There's a number of, like Eileen said, there's a number of collaborative efforts that we may want to consider going forward on. I think it would be a great opportunity in all three of these areas that we can collaborate and maybe have some work groups on this committee to help coordinate it. Eileen?
I keep unmuting myself. Steve, I think you've put forth the our points very well, and thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for your support. Any questions, Al?
No. What I would ask is that if, in turn, if Mary Chris and Catherine could address those concerns in broad strokes, obviously, because I'm looking at the clock here and I see we have a few more presentations to go and time is starting to run short. So I would ask if each of you could briefly present remarks on those topics.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay, I'll make sure I captured all the points. But the first one regarding the low vision doctors, we actually, you know, went through the list not that long ago, and currently we have 8 low vision doctors that are kind of split up between the states. So we certainly can use more. It impacts services, you know, as far as being quickly served, like the doctors being able to see our clients right away. Some doctors prioritize low vision evaluations, which gets them in a little quicker. But I just think in general, the eye doctors are very backed up. It's hard to get an appointment within a timely manner. We do have a committee. We met not that long ago regarding, you know, sending, you know, applications to somebody who asked for one. We have one low vision provider who one of the doctors moved to another part of the state. It is no longer in the same practice, but is still a provider. She's looking it up. So we met about that. We met about having their new doctor become a low vision doctor in the practice with the physician she left. You know, that new doctor wants to become a provider. So there are some movements regarding that. We have had some new doctors come on board in the last year, maybe 3. Yeah, that's, I don't really have a solution, but, you know, we have met about it. We don't necessarily have an answer, but we do have a committee. You know, as far as referrals, that is actually similar. Like, we actually incorporated that into our work group when we talked about the work group as far as our state plan goals. And one of the things that we indicated is to become a little bit more innovative regarding our marketing materials, and we also talked about, you know, separate from that, making our low vision eye report, like our eye reports, more virtual, being able to send them to eye doctors so they can do them more, you know, easily by email. But as far as voc rehab, we have a goal to have things like to develop QR codes for employers, to develop, you know, make sure we're sending out hyperlinks, that we're sending these out to the employers, to, you know, businesses, you know, so we can help market our program a little bit easier than we have in the past. You know, we found that pamphlets and brochures really are not effective anymore. Sometimes when we do, when we go back to in-person job fairs or resource fairs, you know, we'll certainly have them available to hand out, but currently we're working on becoming kind of up to date with the technology. We have a few, you know, counselors that are a little, you know, younger, that are very tech savvy, that have offered a lot of suggestions regarding how we can be more innovative regarding our materials that we send out. So they kind of have a dual fold as far as helping us find jobs, helping identify clients that may be in employment situations and they don't know about our agency. So we plan to send all of those to a lot of different employers, different organizations, partner agencies, and just that's kind of one of our goals. So we're hoping that will help increase job opportunities along with referrals. I don't know if
I just wanted to add a little perspective on this topic. The reality is that in a bureau with 80 employees that as few as 5 years ago had half as many employees at 120, the ability to recruit low vision docs has been reduced substantially because as fewer people do more work, there are just some things that can't fit in everybody's schedule. And I think this may be one of those things. It's a reality with which we're going to have to live, that it's more difficult to recruit low vision docs because there isn't the time. And perhaps innovation would help us along that path. But to be realistic, there's only so much innovation can be done. This is one of those things where the best solution is more bodies, and that solution is not forthcoming. So I think there are two things that have to happen. The first thing is, of course, innovation, but the second thing is we're going to have to temper our expectations a little bit and understand that we're going to have to live, very likely live, with fewer low-vision docs covering more of the state, and we will have to do the best we can given that reality.
Al, may I add something about low-vision doctors, and maybe a lot of you are aware of this?
Please.
I was not aware that there is such a shortage of optometrists that there is apparently a fast-track program to get technicians, for example, certified by streamlining the coursework. And I only learned this because I went for my own low vision examination weeks ago and was speaking to one of the technicians there, and she was telling me that she was contemplating this fast track program herself. So there are unfortunately fewer doctors out there for us to even choose from, but hopefully there will be more in the future if we take advantage of this fast track program.
Thanks, Catherine. Since we have you here, do you want to address the topics that Steve and Eileen brought up with regard to the decline in the number of clients we see in children's services?
Sure, yeah. And I'm going to say, in our heyday, we were probably up at 1,200 students. But I'm going to say that we have consistently been around, I want to say, the 930 student enrollment mark for the last several years. I don't have today's enrollment number, but I believe it could be about 927. So we're in the 920, 930 range. Last year, there was a little bit of a dip in referrals, and I'm going to attribute that to COVID because people weren't going to the doctor. But I've seen a steady stream since, I want to say, mid-August, and it has not stopped. So I do anticipate our numbers going up a little more between now and the end of the school year. And also, if our numbers look lower than what they used to be, that those numbers also reflect a statewide and a national trend in the reduction in the birth rate of children. I do know that the State Department of Education has also reported over the last several years a decrease in the number of children enrolled in special education, and they too attribute that to the reduction in the population growth rate. But I always, in my conversations and my presentations that I do on behalf of BESBE, I do remind school districts, administrators, people at the State Department of Education, other stakeholder groups, that we are here. And if anyone has questions about the referral process for children, to contact me, because I certainly want to help them and guide them. I do get phone calls. I do get them from birth to three agencies who may or may not be familiar with us. So I'm going to take the uptick in referrals since mid-August as an indication that we are going to continue on this path of steady growth. But if anyone here has heard otherwise and they're aware of people who are not being referred to BESBE, if they're not aware of BESBE, let me know, because I want to make sure that everyone knows that we are here and we want to provide services.
Al?
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Stephen, thank you for that information. What does it look like for the future of people being referred from your department to VR? Do you see it slowing down because they're facing more challenges other than just having being legally blind, or are they going to be legally blind and have brain dysfunction? They're going to need more supportive services. I'm thinking about planning for the future for our agency.
Anyone who should be considered for voc rehab is always considered. All of the BESBE education consultants and the itinerant teachers are strongly encouraged, and they have to. It's a part of their job. So
You know, we also take our lead from Mary and her counselors, and typically at least once a year, I review the VR referral process with Mary just to make sure nothing has changed, and then I in turn explain the process to the BSBE education consultants and the itinerant teachers, because we don't want anyone falling through the cracks.